Hello, I'm Isabellen, and this is Storytime. Grown-up Storytime. What sounds good? Isabellen writes something. We come and we talk, and we talk raunchy, and we talk honest, and we pretend we're drinking wine, because every conversation, I think I need a glass of wine to go along with the conversation. How are you today? I'm a little bit off my game. Again, this keeps happening to me. I keep napping. The nap puts me off my game. I am getting ready to share this out. I have a special guest today, Thomas Renard from across the pond. That little pond we call the giant ocean. Cannot type and talk at the same time, but I'm here. There he is. Hey, Tom. I couldn't see you. How are you? You can call in if you can see where to call in. We'll see if we can make this connection thing work. So this is my second attempt at doing this. There was a little connection problem issue, a little technical difficulty. And then you've got my frazzle brain. Y'all know I do that, right? I am just a woman with a kidnapped microphone. I really don't know what I'm doing. Oh, there he is. He's calling in. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, fabulous.
Oh my goodness, listen to you and your accent. I knew you had me. It's not like I'm not a total idiot and I have heard you read, but wow, you know what they say about American women in accents is so true. You know this, right?
Yeah, it's something that I've come to learn for sure. it took me a while to fully believe it, but it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing. Yeah. I need to tell you really quick, and my friend Zane, VIVI4 on Twitter, he has a great voice. He's a young man. And I first met him through his voice. I heard his voice. He was just getting started on Vanilla Audio, and he was looking for scripts, and he was challenging himself, and he was new on Twitter. And I first met him through his voice, didn't know his age, didn't know anything else about him. And when you meet somebody through really essentially through your voice, you have a whole new perception of them. And if you have, I don't know if I have a real voice kink, but I do have a thing for sounds. If you have a thing for that, when you meet somebody through their voice first, and if they have a good voice, you're like eternally sexy. So you just need to own that. You just need to, and because you've got the accent on top of it, you've got a great reading voice. You've got the accent. You are just now, it's just stamped across your forehead. Can't see it. It's invisible. Doesn't matter. You're just sexy. It's just the way it is. You need to own this, okay?
I mean, there's a balance to be had, right? I mean, this is far too early. This is far too early to be expanding my ego this quickly.
Right? Oh no! You just need to own it. I'm telling you, it's just a thing. I could say something really direct, but that somebody else said to me once, who actually is writes on Literotica. He's an older gentleman. His name is He writes under the, I've been trying to get a hold of him, Touch Type is his name, that he used to make fun of women in America because of their things for accent, their thing for accent. I can't repeat it in public, polite company, even though we are not safe for work. That's not how I talk, but the way he talked about how women reacted was a very, and that he said that like within our one of our first conversations. And I'm like, yeah, you might be right. I don't know. So thank you so much for being brave and coming on to Is a Well and Right.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm happy to talk with you about your journey and your writing and everything. So you're super brave. You didn't say, what do you want to talk about? What are you going to ask me? You just kind of, what do I need to do was kind of your thing. I told you, and you believed me. That's even better.
I mean, you know, what can I say? I'm young and naive.
Young and naive. Yeah. I mean, you believe, that's wonderful. I'm so pleased. So you write on Twitter and you have a new website. Do you want to, in fact, I need to tell you this. I went to see your new website and I compared it to the one, the landing page I was doing. And then that was really a shocking point for me because the landing page I was doing was more me, representative me and not my writing. And so it was a little bit pastoral. There were scenery pictures and each scenery picture was an entryway to a different, like poetry was dreamlike and it was like going into a garden. And my blog was a road, you know, for journeys and everything was very pastoral. And I showed it to my publisher and she was like, what's this for? Is this for you? And then I had looked at yours and you had incorporated SWL Photographics photographs. You got permission. Mm. And I thought, oh my gosh, look at the difference here. He totally knows who his audience is. What is wrong with me? So I envied you and then I had to go back and start over. Thanks for that. You cost me an extra $50. And
Yeah, send an invoice. I'll have my people deal with it.
So you did your own website. You're kind of put that all together. So tell me about your new website. Share your website out. Tell the world
So my new website is simply thomasrenard.co.uk. That is the pen name I decided to go with after months of thinking about whether I should use a pen name or not. But when it's funny because I've been doing stories on Twitter now for almost a year, and when it came to putting stories elsewhere, I suddenly thought, I don't know if I want to be like Big Daddy Fox on Wattpad or in other places. I'm like, maybe, like, you know, I'm a writer, and one day I'd like to write like books and things, you know, and I'm like, I can't have Big Daddy Fox on a book.
Well, you could, but it might sound like you're going for children. I mean, most
people
don't.
I mean, one way or the other, it's going to alienate a huge audience, right? So,
yeah.
Because, you know, like, I will always be Big Daddy Fox. Like, that just encompasses who I am, really. But when it comes to writing, I try and write for a wider audience. You know, I don't only write about, you know, my kinks and my thing. I try and research other things and sort of broaden my horizons in that respect. So, yeah, I had to go for a pen name. Thomas is my real first name anyway. And Renard is French for fox. So that's how that happened.
There you go. That works.
The website was just a hobby project, really. I was looking at writing longer stuff that wouldn't fit on Twitter because I don't ever go above the 25 tweet limit. I know I could add more after that, but it gets tricky. So I have a Wattpad account. I have a Medium account. I have a Little Roderick account as well. And then I was like, you know, I could just put all my stuff on my own site. And you know, that would be something fun. I wanted to make a website for years and never really had a reason to. So yeah, it was a week of like staying up till 5 a.m. It was it started off as just, it was going to be like a single page, just with like scroll down and find everything I've written. And then it evolved. I very quickly became a perfectionist about it. And I am very lucky to have the backing and support of SWL Photographic and the Indulgent Desires team. Both of them, we've been sort of just talking and working together a lot. Because like that guy's photos give me so much inspiration.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the key parts of the website for me, because I do host writing in other places. I put three of my stories on Literature. I got three or four of them on Medium, just as experiments, really, to see how they perform. But the thing that I host exclusively on my website is my audio stuff. I've always wanted to use my voice. I've had aspirations of being a voice actor for 4 or 5 years. I've been an online broadcaster for 4 or 5 years now, mainly in the gaming industries. And it was only a month or two ago now, 6 weeks ago, that I did my first like audio piece.
So what are you doing? What are you using to create your audios? Are you using a plugin? How does that work? I'm looking at them now. Well, I know you're using your recording equipment, but I mean, mm-hmm. to transfer them onto Twitter and onto your website. They come with a picture and then you hit play and then the audio plays. So are you using a plugin to do that? Or what are you doing? Because that's really neat. It would be neat. You know, I know a lot of audio people who just have to host offsite. They hope like at Soundgasm or different places. Yours are like embedded in right into your website. So how did you do that?
So that simply happens by making them into a video. So if I was going to post pure audio, then yeah, the only thing you can do is use third party websites for that. Twitter has no way of embedding pure audio. You can record audio, but I don't like the quality of Twitter recording. So simply what I do is, and this is a way of me sort of showing my inspiration for where the words are coming from anyway, because I find an image that sparks something, and then I write it, and then all it is I record the audio in my audio software, I edit it, I clean it up, and then I just use Adobe Premiere Pro. I import the picture to Premiere Pro, give it the slightest bit of animation just to change its scale and position on the screen, put the audio over the top of it, and then export that as an MP4 file. And then they MP4 files embed directly into Twitter when you include them. It's just like a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty. And it looks so classy and clean. It looks really classy and clean, both on Twitter and on your website. So that's really neat. Yeah. Thank you. Maybe I should try that. I wonder if I could. I probably could. It sounds like awful lot of effort.
To be honest, I mean, I've been doing video editing for a while and stuff. These things take like 10 minutes to edit the video.
Honestly, do you have an editor? Are you doing it on an Apple? Is that what you're doing?
I use a PC.
PC. Yeah. So what program are you using it to generate the video?
It's Adobe Premiere Pro.
There
are other softwares out there that do exactly the same job for much cheaper. I'm fortunate. I work freelance doing social media and content creation for other companies, and one of my clients pays for my Adobe subscription.
So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, but I used to use Sony Vegas Pro, which you can buy on sale at times for like $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll produce exactly the same quality as what I'm doing. One of the thought processes behind why I do my audios in that video style is because I've done it in the past where you just record a black screen with audio. And I don't really like it. And B, it's easy to ignore. Whereas yes. when you have like an evocative image, which you suddenly realize you're not just looking at a picture, but there's actually a video on your Twitter timeline, it's much more compelling to click it and listen, you know? So
exactly.
One of the original reasons for doing it that way was just to boost engagement more than anything.
Just practically speaking, I've put audio up on Twitter before and it just goes, it gets missed. There's just a blue link there that could be anything. Nobody ever clicks on it. Nobody ever sees it. So then I'll do other kinds. I'll do the black screen. Well, that doesn't work. So I tried Spoon with a picture, and I've tried different programs. Some of them work better than others, but yours has that moving thing going on. It catches the attention and people stop and they listen. Do you feel like you've had good engagement from that?
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I mean, having been in like social media and content creation professionally for a while, I am very much a numbers nerd. So I look at my analytics every day, and like, even though everything here is just like hobby stuff, this is all amateur hobby stuff for me. I still care about the numbers, and sometimes too much to the point where I annoy myself about it. but it's interesting because it's a good reflection on what works and what doesn't, and what people are going to respond well to.
It can be absolutely, but I'm gonna have to talk to you off. I need to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience in, I'm still fairly new to this world, but there are certain aspects like the video and audio recording that I have a little bit of experience that I can help with. So
yeah, no, that's great. Okay, I want to hear about tell me, where did your writing journey start? And even on Twitter, you're starting to share, when you first started sharing your writing, where did that start? You said you've been on Twitter for a while, but I haven't seen you. I mean, you just popped up on my radar in the last month or so. So what have you been doing? Where have you been writing? Tell me about your writing journey.
Well, I mean, if you really want to go like whole hog, I mean, I was a writer when I was a kid. By the age of 10, I'd written a series of children's books that I thought were good enough to send to a publisher. And it was very rude of them never to respond. I'm just going to say that now.
What is wrong with those people? You went to all the effort.
But yeah, I mean, I've always loved writing. I've always loved reading. I was the kid who I would go to our local library and get 8 books every 2 weeks.
What are you reading now?
What am I reading now?
Yes.
Very little, because I'm writing more than anything. I have recently, in the last month, I have bought several books from sort of the little community of writers on Twitter that I've been getting to know. So I bought The Chair by Hansa. The trilogy from The Secret Submissive. But I haven't started reading them yet. And I have more of a list of books I want to buy as well from the people that I've met.
It's hard. I don't read as much when I'm writing heavily either. So I completely get that. Part of it is because I absorb too much and it really will show up in my writing. And I may not notice it. I may not even be aware of it. It'll show up in my writing. And I don't, sometimes it's bad enough looking at the poetry on Twitter because, you get somebody who have that perfect turn of phrase and, it'll stick with you. And then I forget it. And then it might come back. Hopefully I know it's not mine because it might come back when it's really good. Sometimes you get this perfect word combination. In fact, there's a poet on, he said, I just want to spend the day looking at the profanity of you. And I just 3 days I sat on the profanity of you. That's profound to me. I could do so much with that. So I asked, I got permission, and then I wrote a poem. And there will be more poetry for that because I still think it's an excellent phrase. It's just
absolutely.
I love words.
Yeah, same. I find myself, so I can write something and at the end of it be like, hey, that came out pretty well. And then I'll go to my timeline and within like 5 minutes I'm like, god damn, these people have written so much better than me.
No!
But I do love to find, especially when it comes to poetry, I love to find new like rhythms and patterns that people use, because it can get very, especially rhythms in poetry can get very samey. You know, you can get locked into a one particular style.
It's really easy to do that on Twitter because of the limited, you know, word usage. And then you have to go back and you're editing too, so you don't get some of the flow that you want. Yeah, no, totally. I get that.
I'm also a rhyme whore. I actively try hard not to rhyme stuff, and it still ends up rhyming. And I'm like, come on, what is this?
It's just instinct. You just can't help yourself.
I don't know. But I mean, I'm a huge rap fan, so.
Oh no! So that, there you go. That makes it even worse. You got it.
So I'm hearing rhymes all day, every day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So you've always been.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, so you've always been writing, but how did you end up writing on Twitter? That's a little different.
So I stopped writing for like 20 years. I hit my teenage years and discovered video games. And after 20 years, turned that into some semblance of a career.
My goodness, you're every teenage boy I've ever met. Wow. Okay, so keep going on with the writing. I'm sorry.
I don't know how to take that.
Oh, no, I mean it in a good way. I know a lot of young men who want to, in fact, we'll talk about that later.
So I didn't do much of reading or writing for a long time. And it actually got to a point, I don't know, 2 years ago, where I bought a couple of new books by one of my favorite authors. And like, I struggled to read them. Like, I was having trouble concentrating on like sitting down and reading for any period of time. I was like, oh, this is a problem. I've like, my brain is overstimulated with video games here. So I had to like teach myself to read again almost. I joined Twitter. I've been on Twitter for years through gaming. Mm-hmm. Early last year, my wife of 10 years and I split up and, you know, went through the 6 month or so period of like just my mind being like chaotic and weird. And I ended up making an account specifically to go on NSFW Twitter one night just because I was horny, you know? Like, there's no way of mincing words on this. It was literally like I'd seen some like adult related accounts. I was like, oh, well, I can't actively engage with these accounts on my other Twitter account because that has minors and stuff, you know? So I was like, I have to make a new account. And over time, it just developed. I guess within a couple of months, I saw people writing these stories. And I was like, wow, I could probably do that. And I wrote some things. And I have to say, recently, especially with making the website, I went back through my timeline. I did some advanced Twitter searches, went all the way back and found some of my really early stuff. And like, I cringed so hard reading the things I was writing a year ago. it was definitely a learning process again to start writing. This account, you know, Big Daddy Fox has come and gone. I've deactivated twice over the last year.
Have you really?
Yeah, well, I mean, this account isn't only about writing, and I've met people and formed relationships to this account that have gone bad at times. So I've deactivated and come back. And then, I don't know, this time I came back, I've quit a lot of my gaming stuff now. Other than my paid employment, a lot of the hobby gaming I was doing, I quit for various reasons. And I decided to apply myself to writing more. And that's probably how I ended up like crossing paths with yourself, because I started engaging more with other writers on the timeline. I guess it came from engaging more with Desires Indulged and those guys.
It could have been, but I think you were on my radar somewhere before you started engaging with them. But maybe not. Maybe you were just chatting. And I saw one of the first posts I saw was you were talking about, and this is where Desires Indulged comes in even, is you were talking about some of your writing has always been erotic, but you were talking about starting to explore your identity as a daddy dom. And I had read through some stuff and then also just some identity stuff, some being accepting of yourself stuff that you were very honest and open with about, that I thought, oh, wow, this is neat. It's always neat. I always want to encourage people. It's such a, Twitter is very much in a way my poetry journal, and I get really raw and honest sometimes, and I've had really good responses. And I know when you're being raw and honest, the likelihood that you're going to get negativity on Twitter is low, but the likelihood you might get ignored is high. And so, you know, you might be missed, especially if you have a small account, just because the way the algorithms go. And yeah, for me, when I see stuff like that, I like to stop and take a minute and interact and let people know that I see your pain and see where you're going through. I see that you've put something out here, and just acknowledge, you know, you're not that kind of not alone thing, because that's why I did it. That's why I was writing on, one of the reasons why I was, you know, would write like that. I don't necessarily want, you know, 10 billion retweets, but it, you know, I'm shouting into the void, and it's nice every now and then to get heard and to resonate with somebody. And so that's kind of where I saw you. So you want to tell me about a little bit, would you be willing to share a little bit of that journey, that particular shift? I believe, from what I understand, is that was not part of your marriage, and it's coming out now as you grow and explore and learn more of yourself and who you are now. You could correct me. I could be wrong. I forget things.
You're pretty spot on. So, yes, my marriage was very vanilla. And the funny thing was, after we split up, we still lived together for quite a few months while we were trying to sort affairs and things. And we ended up talking about, like, BDSM and things, and we both realized things about ourselves. But it wasn't long after being on Twitter as Big Daddy Fox that, well, I guess from reading stuff before I joined, I started to identify as a daddy dom, which is why I used the name, to be honest. But, you know, that it's what a learning curve. Like, I mean,
from your A to B, from when you first. Because I've had kind of the same learning curve. I find myself saying it all the time on the podcast now, but my first books have the genre has a distinct BDSM DS feel to it that I had no idea that there was crossover, because it's not mentioned. They're alphas and omegas, so I mean, I don't know how you could get that's fairly clear, but it, you know, dominance and submissives aren't necessarily mentioned. It's more about biology than emotions and kinks, but there's still heavy overtones. And so I had been reading it also. It's a very, very prevalent theme in a lot of dark romance these days. It's not labeled, but you'll have the males tend to be much more dominant. They can be alpha mellows or alpha holes. You know, they have this range, but they're always this kind of man who knows what he wants. He may not always go about getting it the correct way, but he knows what he wants, and he's not afraid to go and get it. And he's the wolf in pursuit, or the bear, or the predator in pursuit of what he wants. And then the woman is just, you know, sexually submissive, even though she might be sassy, because she can't resist that desire that he has. She it resonates in her, and everything he does is just so hot and da 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 da. But anyways, that's a big theme in just regular romance these days. Mm-hmm. It's carried over from the old bodice rippers that mm-hmm. I had been reading for years and years. And so I've been writing it and didn't know how a couple people had mentioned, and I'm like, nah, but you know, I didn't realize how strong the themes were. And so then I get on Twitter, and really almost more in the poetry end of the account than the other. And I start writing romantic poetry, and then I looking at who's following me, and I'm like, oh, oh, really? So I was, there's been a lot of self-discovery in the writing and on Twitter and on meeting people and talking to people. And in one of my groups on Facebook, because the genre I write, the Omegaverse genre, somebody asked, are you alpha, omega, beta, or beta, or you know what? And alpha would be your dom, omega would be your submissive, and beta would be your switch. And I'm like, I don't fit any of these. And my publisher was like, oh, yes, you do. And I'm like, no, I don't. Do you see, you just haven't met the right alpha yet. And I'm like, well, maybe. I don't think so. Yeah. So, you know, that self-discovery thing on Twitter and just in that kind of community is amazing and shocking and scary. And then for me, I discover all the little judgment things that I have and all the little, you know, I'm very against, don't kink shame, but I can't say that I just have this pure view of every kink, because I don't. I have, there are certain things that triggers that I have where I have a negative response. And so I tend to, in my head, I could kink shame that, but I want to be more aware of that. Those kind of things are such, I was telling somebody in the Discord chat, which you are also in, just for disclosure, but about, you know, and I'd had a discussion with somebody else about kink shaming, who got kink shamed, that is such an intimate part of you. And for me, and for some people, it's the part that you either fought to deny and accept most of your life, and to have it brought out and be poked at, it can be extremely painful. And so it doesn't, devastatingly, identity crushingly painful. And so whether I agree with it or not, or understand the kink or not, there are some things that are just, what did they do that they get pleasure from? Okay. You know, that are so beyond me. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to step on those things, because that's a part of who you've been developed in as a human, and whatever made you that way made you that way. And I have no right to, you know, kick that in the stomach. So so what was your first, you know, what did you think a daddy dom was? And what have you discovered a daddy dom is?
You know, this is funny, because this conversation has got me, like, kind of questioning my own timeline here, because I've been thinking about this recently, especially with the posts that you've mentioned. So those are my BDS, BDSM posts that I do, these like threads of, you know, discussing my self-discovery. And I've been thinking recently that it had been after I joined Twitter that I started to discover like what a daddy dom was. But my interest must have been piqued before that. Otherwise I wouldn't have picked Big Daddy Fox as my as my handle. So I know it's a conversation that I'd had with my ex-wife about like dominance and submissives and BDSM, those kind of things. We had those kind of conversations after we broke up. So I'd started to research. One of the things, you know, I highlight regularly in the BDSM posts, which are now my blog on my website, is that I research everything, because and I research it heavily, because you have to sift through a lot of crap to find like the good sources of advice, you know?
Yes.
So I guess these conversations with my ex-wife had made me realize that I had this dominant nature that had like very much just been dormant for 10 years of being married. But then when I started like looking into like doms and seeing other doms on Twitter, like I was very happy to like self-label myself as a soft dom. I saw these like harder, like rough, tough, like doms, and I was like, I don't see myself talking that way, blah, blah, blah. So at some point I discovered daddy doms and DDLG. I don't remember where it fell into the timeline, but it very much appealed to my like caring nature, you know, like, primarily being a dom, like that's one of the most appealing aspects to me. And I think that's something that I had been missing for at least like the last the second half of my marriage was like this feeling of looking after someone, of being needed, of that kind of a dynamic just wasn't there. My ex-wife is very, very just, I don't need you kind of thing, you know? And like that was probably one of the toughest things for me towards the end of our marriage. And so I think being that kind of caregiver is what really appealed to me. And I started to talk to people on the Twitter timeline about it, and then inevitably DM conversations started happening. And, you know, I made mistakes along the way as like I'm sometimes I worry that I'm too honest in my posts about this stuff.
How can you be too honest?
I don't know.
I guess it reveals something about yourself. However, the honesty in the story is powerful. And that's the biggest thing, you know, making mistakes and whatever. I guess we always think people are going to, I mean, I know I do, judge us or, you know, look, have expectations or I don't know. But I don't know that you've been too honest about anything. I think you're, some of the stuff you have shared, the journey has been, at least from a female writer looking into the brain of a man who's going through all this stuff, it's been really enlightening and very interesting and very fascinating. Like when some of the responsibility stuff kind of smacked you in the face and you know, which is one of the things I don't know, it was probably with working Hans, because he was talking about, he was the first one that talked to me about, that I was able to ask about the Dom relationship and that talked about the detail of the communication that goes into those kind of relationships. And then I would contrast that with my own real life experiences and couldn't find really anything that matched, because you have to be, your wants and needs, it's a requirement that you be as honest as you possibly can as well. And you also know yourself. You have to know, you know, your hard limits. You have to know where you want to push, and you have to be able to articulate that, or else things can go really terrible. And so the communication, and then out of that communication comes this beautiful relationship that just kind of blows my mind. I thought I had trust, but when you equate, you know, trust with somebody beating you with a stick or something, that's a whole different story. Yeah. That, you know, or even for Hans, he likes his psychological games that for me could trigger a really hard line I have with humiliation. If I feel humiliated, I stop feeling respected. If I'm not respected, I get angry, and my anger can be my anger can be dangerous. I act out when I'm angry. So, and put in a corner like that, I'd probably act out. It could be relationship destroying. And I know that about myself. So that's why the humiliation thing is a hard line for me. So when Hans was he told this one story on Twitter once, and I knew it was, you know, he's not coming from this horrible, he's a really great guy, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But he's the sweetest guy on the planet. But his story was like starting to make me tense, which I knew was like, you better stop reading this now, because you know. So, you know, that communication thing, and you, so sharing, what I'm telling you is when you share all that stuff, because the communication thing is so important, you coming around to seeing that importance and then sharing it on, I think it's been healthy. It's healthy for your readers. I know the women who follow you have enjoyed it, and they're like, yes, this is it. This is totally your, you know, have you gotten negative feedback? Seriously?
No, none at all.
Yeah. Okay.
The only negative feedback comes from myself, trust me.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was telling somebody this morning, if women heart it, they like it. If they commented on it, oh my goodness, they really like it. If they follow you, they like it. What do you think? They're lying to you? You're not, you're as bad as Some men, I swear, you're as bad as women are when their partner says, oh, you look beautiful. And she's like, mm-hmm. oh, you're just saying that. You don't oh, yeah. really mean that. Mm-hmm. And then he gets really frustrated. I'm not lying. Why would I say that? Well, because you have to. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I got told off the other day. Maybe I can blame this on culture. I'm British. We self-deprecate. It's what we do. And a lot of the time I self-deprecate and I don't really mean it. It's more of a coping mechanism than anything else. But some days I have a lot of genuine self-doubt, and I got told off the other day for saying, actually talking about coming here tonight. Like, I don't know what I have to offer. I got very quickly shot down about that. I should not have made that comment.
No, you should have not have. That's so funny. There's somebody I'm hoping to get on. His handle is Bumbling Dad, and he just writes about his life. It's not BDSM or anything, but it's really funny. And that's a little bit why it was because of that self-deprecating, but also because he turns it and makes it just wickedly hilarious. And I guess that is a British thing. That kind of dark humor. I'm not surprised. Look at your children's books. I mean, come on. Half of your children's books, the children's lives are endangered most of the time. So, you know, all the novels, I mean, Ronald Dahl, even Mary Poppins. I love Mary. I just got to on my soapbox here. I love Mary Poppins. She's just amazing. Oh, Mary Poppins, Disney. I read the books. She takes the kids on these marvelous adventures. Then they get home and they're like, oh, Mary Poppins, we love doing that. And she's like, what are you talking about? Go to sleep. But we just went in. She's like, no, I don't want any nonsense. Now go to sleep. I'm not going to listen. She totally gaslights them over and over again. I'm like, what is wrong with you British people?
That's a dangerous question to ask.
She's like this wonderful nanny. No, she's not. She's wicked and horrible. And no wonder they grow up all messed up. Oh, my gosh. It's just, I could never, you could go to jail for that. I don't know. It was just terrible. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I still like them, but I would never read them to a kid because Oh, I'm sorry. I have to get them. I overshared there a little bit. This is about you, not about me.
No. It's good. You make some very good points.
Oh, did I? Yes, it was Mary Poppins in your childhood that have totally ruined you.
Absolutely. That's. I can trace it all back now.
All your children's books, all the dark ones, it all comes out of the grim fairy tales. Yes. If you don't eat your porridge, a witch is going to eat you. Oh, okay. Something, I don't know. So you've gone on this journey, you're sharing on Twitter, you're getting a lot of positive feedback. So what are your future goals? What's next? Now you're... tell me what you're doing with Indulgent Desires. Are you writing poetry or stories or?
So I think at the moment I've very much got free reign, just whatever comes out of the gray matter.
Isn't that amazing? Right, I love that.
I know, but they have specifically asked for some audio content, which is great because that's where my biggest passion lies anyway.
That's fantastic.
It's still like stretching my writing because I'm, at the moment, at least, I'm recording purely my own stuff into audio. I would love at some point for somebody to say, here, read this, and I'll read it. But I'm very much enjoying... The thing is, I obviously know my own speech patterns and the way I read things. So I write things with, like, my voice in mind,
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much everything I've written over the last month, I could go and record. And a few things I have actually ripped out of Twitter again, and I've got a list of things that I want to record and put into audio instead. But yeah, I think the future for me, I'm still learning this writing thing. Writing longer things, trying to write longer and longer and longer, and it's a struggle because I have to put like way more advanced thought, and I have to start planning things. Most of what I've written up to this point just comes out in one session. I sit down and like things start to flow and then it happens and then I post it.
What is your most, I did put men writing women in this because I'm talking to a men writer. Do you feel challenged when it comes to writing? Have you ever written a female point of view? Usually writing from the top, from the point of view of the man inter in the scenario. But have you done any writing of women from the female point of view?
So it's, perspective is a weird thing. The way I write perspective is a weird thing.
You're doing a little bit of omnipresent? A little bit.
Yeah, so I don't think I've written anything female first person. I don't think. But I'm pretty sure I haven't written anything female first person. I've written obviously male first person, and then like I've done these things where I switch back and forth. Actually, one of the things I'm planning on reading tonight was originally written in two parts. And I don't know if I'll read both parts tonight, but they're both in different perspectives.
Okay.
Both parts are, which weirdly I didn't realize until after I'd written both parts. I was suddenly like, hold on, I changed perspective there.
But it works in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I like playing with perspective because it very much changes how people think of a situation, you know, as to how they're viewing it, like through the window or from within the room, you know.
It does. It very much does. That is very true. So why don't you go ahead? We've actually already talked 45 minutes. I think I talk most of the time. What a sucky interviewer I am.
I'm not so sure about that. Wait, we've already talked about self-deprecation here, okay?
Yeah, but I can get it.
You're not even British, so you can't claim culture.
Oh, that's true. No, I'm just female. And, you know, it's, you know, you may be British, but I'm female. So therefore, it's a law. I just have to.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly. I win the genetic lottery, the gender lottery. No, you're right. Would you please? I'd love to hear you read. I want to make sure you get a chance to do that. So tell me what you're reading and just go for it. Read.
Okay, so this is probably one of the stories that I've had the most positive feedback from. And like I said, there are two clear parts to it. Now, I am a very bad judge at how long things take me to read them. So I will take a pause. I will take a break once I get to the end of the first part where the perspective changes. And if we have time and you want me to, I'll read the second part.
Okay.
So, yeah. But this is called the piano. I sit at the baby grand piano, lid down, positioned in the very center of the spacious living room. Floor-to-ceiling window panes all around the east and north walls of the room fill the space with natural light. Fingers of sunlight pierce through the dense foliage of the conifers in the garden, reflecting off of the polished top of the Bechstein, my pride and joy. I'm in a mood. No particular reason, just one of those days. My long fingers extract a dark, brooding melody from the keys of the piano. The minor key fills the room, dripping melancholy, disturbing the demon residing in the darkness of my mind. The door opens and you glide in, ethereal in your beauty, wearing a silk robe. Your shimmering blonde hair falls over your shoulders with an effortless elegance. Normally, you are quick to sense my moods, and today it's especially easy due to the gloomy music swelling around the piano. You walk behind me and wrap your arms around me, your soft breasts resting on my shoulders, and I lean my head back into them. Sighing deeply, the comfort of your touch calms me a little, and my fingers continue to dance across the keyboard in front of me. You lean down and kiss my neck, sucking on it a little, before biting down, a cheeky little nip, making my head jerk forwards. I growl at you. As my fingers strike discordantly at the keys, interrupting the flow of the piece that I'm playing. You walk back past me to the other end of the piano and I land a stinging blow on your ass as you slide past. You stop dead. Turn towards me, a wicked glint in your eyes. The wildcat suddenly awake. You drop your robe off your shoulders and onto the floor, determined to distract me. You're wearing nothing underneath, apart from the emerald green panties you slept in last night. Your breasts are soft and heavy, perky nipples winking at me, pulling my focus from the music as I ruin another cadence. You lean on the lid of the piano and I tense up. Your elbows rest on the polished walnut, and my hackles rise. There are two things in this house, and only two, that you are not allowed to touch. Yourself, without my permission, and the piano. My visible frustration merely provokes the animal inside you, the fire in your eyes flaring up. I watch in disbelief, shooting you the look, like a warning shot being fired across your bow, and you stare right back at me as you begin to mount the lid of the piano. Lithe and cat-like, you climb up onto the lid, spreading your legs before my eyes. My playing is getting rougher, more missed notes, a combination of my anger and my arousal. You silently mouth the word, oops, at me. Wide, innocent eyes as you pull your green underwear to the side, exposing the pretty flower hiding beneath them. Your finger slides between your pink lips and you lean your head back in pleasure, a quiet sigh escaping your mouth. This is the last straw. You've gone too far. I stand up and grab you down from the lid of the piano, dragging you roughly from the living room and into the playroom. You have woken up the beast that was lurking inside me, the darkness and gloom now ready to manifest itself in some much-needed discipline. Your skin reacts to the anticipation of what's coming. You smile smugly, for this is what you wanted. This is what you need, and you know it's what I need too. Get those panties off now, I command. Silently, you comply, knowing now is not the time for words. I gesture towards the horse in the middle of the room. On your back, slut. Watching approvingly as you lay on the black vinyl-coated fabric, your legs tucked up under you, your hands stretched above your head, making your back arch and your breasts protrude proudly. Stepping forwards, I swiftly and expertly strap you down, one strap over the top of your thighs, one across your hips, and one over your abdomen, just under the swell of your breasts. Finally, I cuff your hands together above your head, testing the restraints and lightly slapping your exposed boobs, a very tiny taste of what's to come. Tell me, slut, what are the two things in this house you are forbidden to touch? I give you a stony stare while I wait for your response. Sir's pussy, without permission, and sir's piano, you whine. That's right. So why did you touch both in front of my face just now? You shrug as best you can in your restraints. I don't know, sir. Well, you are going to learn what happens to disobedient sluts now. And I grab a long, slender riding crop from the rack on the wall. I drag the tongue of the crop gently across your goosebump-covered flesh, the tiny hairs on your skin standing on end. The soft leather grazes your nipples down between your breasts, over your stomach and down between your legs, finding you wet and eager for more. Your body responds, muscles tensing, tendons stretching, affecting your breath. A bead of sweat appears between your breasts. Whose cunt is this, little one? I ask as my crop rests gently on your soft folds. It's yours, sir, you respond. Smack. The crop rises and falls swiftly, slapping into your moist folds. A yelp escapes from your soft lips and your body arches against the restraints. That's right, mine, and you will learn to remember that. I proceed to administer a severe cunt punishment, whipping the crop against my property, my aching little pussy. You continue to strain and fight against the straps, trying to arch your hips upwards, begging for more of my crop's ministrations. When your sex is completely red and swollen, extra sensitive from its much-needed retribution, I put the crop down and gently stroke your thighs. What have you learned, my darling? I ask softly. I must never touch sir's pussy or piano, you reply with a soft sigh, your voice breaking and your body trembling from the punishment you have endured. That's right, I concur, stepping forwards and removing my pants. Lining the head of my cock up with the entrance of your now dripping fuckhole, I tease you. Now you get to give me the pleasure you know I need. And that's the halfway point.
That's the halfway part. Well, we have part for the time for the second. Do the second part.
You have okay. I wasn't sure.
Okay. Do the second. I gotta know what happened. Stop there.
I like to tease. All right.
Yeah, apparently.
In the dim gloom of Sir's playroom, you have received your dues. You lay there, strapped to the black vinyl-clad horse, restrained, sore, and hungry for more. He wastes no time in removing his pants and steps towards you, lithe and purposeful. You feel the swollen head of his member pressing against your raw, sensitive cunt, still burning from his discipline. Your back arches and a needy little whine escapes into the stillness of the room. He has awoken in you the desire that only he can, a need to please your sir, to be dominated by him, to be taken and used by him. He slides his veiny appendage up the crease of your wet sex. You shudder and try to grind your now dripping essence against him, but the straps holding you down prohibit it. Your whines turn into a hiss as the savage hellcat inside comes out to play, demanding satisfaction. But Sir won't be rushed. He always knows what you need, and he will not capitulate or be hurried. He places a warm hand on your stomach, centering and calming you. His voice floats through the semi-darkness, soothing you. Hush now, my love. I will give you that which you yearn for. Soon. You lay back, relaxing, letting his words wash over you, and you surrender completely. You surrender to the man who has time and again proven his worth, the man to whom you have willingly given all that you are, who has earned the treasured submission that you have presented to him, and who has accepted this precious gift with the reverence and humility that it deserves. His soft pianist's fingers stroke your outer folds gently. His shaft glides between your wet lips, brushing gently against your clitoris, sending a lightning bolt to your core. A gasp escapes your lips and you pull against the restraints, keeping your arms above your head. He smiles to himself, relishing every sound that your body makes. He is a musician and you are his favorite instrument. His masterful hands will use your body to create sweet melodies of ecstasy. He reaches up your body, cupping your breasts and pinching your nipples. More sweet moans take flight from your open mouth as you react to his fresh attentions, his cock rubbing harder into your aching slit, increasing the burning desire building within you. His left hand rolls your nipple between his thumb and forefinger, while his right hand finds the gnawing ache between your thighs. Two fingers slide into your flooded entrance, and you cry out in blissful relief, thankful to have even a small part of Sir inside you. His fingers proceed to conduct the tunes and chords that your body produces, thrusting deep inside you, fucking your cunt fast, then slowing down, curling inside your flower lazily. Your exclamations of pleasure build in crescendo, then fall off in diminuendo, cresting and dipping as he controls your pleasure as expertly as a conductor leads an orchestra. But to reach the dynamic peak, he has other methods in mind. Your eyes open wide and you scream in gratification as Sir's engorged, throbbing organ stretches the mouth of your arousal wide and rests deep inside your burning canal. The strong hands now grasp your waist and pull you towards him, his hips thrusting strong and hard. One hand snakes up and grips your throat as he continues to fuck you, building speed, his raw fury taking over, reinforcing his claim as your owner. You know that you are his. That is never questioned. And while you give yourself willingly, he must also take what is his. Panting, moaning, screaming, this performance has almost reached its climax. His perfect cock fucks you towards your orgasm, your body writhing and bucking on the horse, testing the straps that lock you in place. The pleasure builds in your core, like a single spark that slowly and inevitably grows into an unstoppable lightning storm. His thrusts push you towards the point of no return as he grunts and growls over you, lost in ravenous urgency. There is no going back now. The grip on your throat tightens, and you know he is about to fill you with the seed you want deep inside you. With a single snarled word, he commands your body as no one else would ever be able to. Now. You let go of all restraint, knowing he has demanded your climax. Your pussy floods, drenching his cock with copious amounts of your sweet nectar, and as he feels you contract around his shaft, he releases his eruption inside your drenched cunt with a feral snarl. His balls turn, churn, and tighten. His shaft throbs, strong muscles pumping hot cum into your center. His legs tremble, his muscles twitch with pent-up frustration as he releases everything into you. Now comes the calm after the storm. He is silent once again, but warmth extends from his eyes and his smile. His hands gracefully caress your body, pausing briefly to release the straps that have held you down. His kisses fall on your skin like rain, and he lifts you up into his arms. You wrap yourself around his neck, burying your face in his shoulder, releasing grateful sobs. He hums softly into your ear as he carries you to the comfort of your bedroom, softly singing gentle words of positive affirmation. You are his good girl. You are his princess. You are the center of his world, and he rotates solely around you. The end.
Oh, that last line. Beautiful. And hot and beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for reading so much, for reading the whole thing. Yeah, and not leaving. Well, I'm not going to say. Anyways. I don't have to be too honest, do I? After I just gave you the lecture about being honest on Twitter. That's on Twitter. We're not on Twitter. We're on a podcast now. It's different. Different rules.
Wow. My rules. Double standards.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's true. I confess. It's so different from what you're able to write to what you're able to speak. It's like a chasm.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. To be honest, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me to even read some of these things like out loud, because it's so much easier to put it on paper.
Oh my goodness. Some of my own writing I hire out. I'm like, could you read this for me? Because I can't. And please, because I sound ridiculous when I try to read these words. There are certain words that I just cannot say. I just have not quite overcome my, I can say them in a certain mood, but for the most part, yeah, or they sound just ridiculous coming out of my mouth. So, no, I totally understand. So that's very brave, and you're a really great reader, though. You did really marvelous. It's, I think people, reading your own work is a beautiful thing. I want to say it's essential. It's not, but for me it is, because it puts such, you know, I see that differently. I hear it differently now that I've heard it from the author's point of view. It softens it, and, or it hardens it, you know, it gives it a whole, all new textures. And I really love hearing authors read their own work. It doesn't, men or women, I get something different out of it that I don't get out of it when I'm not, when I'm reading it myself. And I think one reason is because as a writer, I know that I want readers to infer stuff. I don't want to have to write every little detail, right? You want readers to bring their own experience to the piece, but when it's the writer reading it, they're bringing their experience to the piece. And if it's a positive experience, it changes everything. And that is, I like that because some of the stuff, like one of my slut is not my favorite word in the world. And I have some negativity from my childhood actually connected to it. So it's hard for me to hear. But when I hear the writers read it, my connotations are just like, they're gone. It's about, because that's not what you bring to it. You don't bring your hangups to it when you read it. And the women who read it, who it's in their own work, they don't bring their hang. And it's how that word can come out ever tender, I do not know. But somehow,
I totally understand where you're coming from, and like very much humiliation / degradation are things that I am not comfortable with. You know. But that one word took me a while to like get my head around. The different and ways you can use it, you know.
Yeah, you're doing it. Well, you get, you know, you are. Yeah. You're getting that edgy kind of, but I still care about you. But you know, this is how you're behaving now, and you. I know you like this word. We've talked about this. You know, exactly. That's in there, even though you didn't go over 20 pages of your consent agreement. You know. It's in the reading, and I wouldn't get that because that's not what I bring to that. That's not what I bring to it. So it's always fantastic to hear writers read their work, and you did a great job. So you're kind of breaking into the writing thing. You read really well. You've got the website. And you're expanding your poetry. Where do you see yourself in a year from, you know, do you have you planned it out? Are you just going with the flow? Where do you see yourself in a year?
So this particular sort of enterprise of writing and voice work and stuff, I'm not laying out goals for. I've spent the last 5 years working on a different dream that I gave up on recently, basically. And now I'm just going to enjoy an experience and enjoy a journey, to be honest. Where it takes me, it takes me.
That's a nice. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you never know. You never know where that journey is going to take you. I certainly didn't know where journeys are going to take me. So that's actually a really great attitude to have. How old are you? Is that a rude question? I'm just curious as to where you are in life and your journey. You've been married 10 years, but
I mean, that gives, I can't blag that I'm 20, right? So I'm 33. I recently turned 33.
Ah, see, because I was going to say you got to be younger than 40. There's something in your voice that says that tells me that you still have a lot of some amazing. I don't mean a lot of journey, but some amazing times ahead. It's so neat that you're getting some of you're not waiting till you're 50 to find your daddy Dom. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. So I feel kind of lucky in some ways. The way things have panned out. My 10-year marriage was not, you know, against
you
what my writing might say.
Babies, you were married so young.
I was 20. I was 20 when I got married. 21 when I got married.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I have a daughter who just turned 10 this year. So,
wow.
You know, we did a lot of stuff really young. And, you know, I have some really good memories from being married, and that 10 years had some great experiences in it. And I feel like now I'm 33, I'm figuring out who I am, and I don't feel like it's too late to be figuring out who I am.
No, it's the perfect time.
But I also feel like I've got like so much life experience packed into those 33 years at this point. And some of it's really bad life experience, which has, you know, made things really difficult. And, you know, like, but it gives me such a platform to build on. Like, I feel like I've learned so much.
Even that bad stuff can be turned around, because now you've still learned from it, right? You've still picked yourself up after all the bad and learned the process. And it's part of your story now. It's part of your empathy for other people going through that stuff. It's part of, even the bad stuff can be sometimes we beat ourselves up. I know I do about the bad stuff a little bit too much, you know. That's amazing. I wasn't sure. Your picture, it's kind of hard to tell how you are. You're somewhere between 30 and 40, but you know, a lot of people wait, you know, to come to the late in life thing, really, for their freedom. I know for women, a lot of women I've talked to, they hit 40, and even men too, you start to care less what other people think, and you start to care more about, look, I'm running out of time to get these dreams or to live this experience. And so they wait. So it's neat that here you are 33 and you're entering into some new experiences. The writing is new. The audio is new. You're stretching yourself. You're not, you know, too caught up, because living takes adulting takes a lot out of you, right? I just want to commend you. I mean, you're living even though you're adulting. You're doing it all. Do you feel like you're doing it all? Probably not, but you are.
I have very conflicted feelings about what I'm doing right now. yeah.
Why? What are you conflicted about?
Oh, no. So, no, don't get me wrong. This is not talking about the context of, like, the writing.
Oh.
No. It's like life in general. I'm in a very strange position right now.
I don't want to be an adult. I want to be a daddy dump. Wait, what? No, you are.
Hey, I can be both, right?
No, you can't. I'm sorry. You gotta. They both imply responsibility. I don't know how you're going to escape that.
Dreams shattered.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to kick you off. I don't know. Sometimes I have trouble with the re-upload. We went over a little bit, but I really wanted to finish out the conversation with you. And thank you. You'll have to come again. I wish I could get a reunion show and have everybody that they're all across the world. That's never going to happen. But
time zones are a pain in the butt.
They are. Darn it. What is that? Although telephones, being able to do this, talk to you while, you know, it's what time is 10 o'clock at night over there.
Yeah.
It's still a fascinating thing. So I appreciate you sharing your story, reading, talking to me. And thanks again.
No, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That's, I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to kick you off and say goodbye.
Kick me. Bye.
This has been, I'm going to turn my music on because, you know, you got to have the music, right? As you leave the room. I'm having the time of my life talking to people about their writing and their kinks and their getting into their bedrooms. I had no idea I was going to be standing in so many bedrooms recently. But you guys have been so incredibly honest and open, and I'm just, and then I end up telling stories about Mary Poppins. How does that happen? I don't know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you so much for sharing your story today, Tom. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And I just want to remind you that just like I was telling him, his honesty and his story and his life, it teaches empathy. It builds connection. It resonates with people. And it's so important. Your story can change the world. It really, really can, especially in this time when there are so many ways we're separated. Your story is important. You have value. Whether I agree with your story or understand it or not, somebody's going to. And that's what makes it valuable. Human connection is important. So have a great day, evening, night, middle of the morning, whatever time it is. Thank you so much for listening.